and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
We've been talking for a couple of weeks now, going beyond 2 months, on the signs of the end times. We've been talking about the second coming. We've been talking about the rapture. We've been talking about what happens to those who don't make the rapture. And it is critical. It is critical for me as the Archbishop of this movement to bring illumination and enlightenment. I'm endeavoring and I'm attempting to make sure that my hands will be innocent of every man's blood as much as is possible. And that is why I've been talking about signs of the end time. And a couple of months ago in America, the Lord reminded me about messages I used to preach 30 years ago, started preaching 1976. After my encounter with Christ, when I lost 3 of my fingers, and this is my 40th year in preaching, and the Lord said to me, I want you to go back. Go back to the basics. You've moved away. You've moved away from the basics. Go back. And I began to examine my heart, and I began to examine and to judge myself and to check my motives. And I realized that I needed to go back to the basics. One of the things that stirred up my spirit was when I heard the debate and the discussion about the possibility of moving the capital of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So I began to search the scriptures and the prophecies, and it dawned on me that 60 biblical prophecies about the coming of Jesus, his birth, his nature, his earthly ministry, his crucifixion, his death, resurrection, and ascension has been fulfilled. And we are left with 14 biblical prophecies about Jesus and the second coming and the rapture. And I began to study the 14 prophecies, and I realized that one of the 14 prophecies that is yet to be fulfilled is the capital of Israel coming into Jerusalem. The next prophecy after that will be the rebuilding of the temple, and that will be the days and the beginning of sorrows. When I saw that and started studying the 14 prophecies, I realized that, hey, I needed to wake up, because time is far spent, and time is something that you can never redeem. You can buy everything, but you can't buy time. Alexander the Great of all times had 3 wishes on his dead bed. First wish, he said, on his dead bed, number one wish, he said all the wealth and treasures he had acquired during the time of his life as he conquered nations and took the booties of the battle back to his country. He said, spread all those riches from his house where he was laid in state to the cemetery where his body will be laid to rest. Spread all the riches. He wanted all the wealth to be spread on the road leading to the cemetery. Number two wish, he said he wanted his 2 hands hanging out of the casket. Number three wish, he said he wanted his caskets to be carried by the best doctors and physicians of the country. One of his generals said to him, Alexander, what is the meaning of these 3 wishes? He said, number one, I want all my wealth spread across the road leading to the cemetery where his body will be laid, because he wanted to tell the world that everything we acquire in this world, we will leave it here when we leave. We will not take it with us. Number two, he said, He wanted the best physicians to carry his casket to make a statement that when the hour comes for you to check out, no expertise of any physicians in any continent of the world can give you life. And number three, his hands hanging out of the casket, he said, "We came empty-handed into this world, and we will leave empty-handed." He said, the most expensive commodity in life is time, which money cannot buy. You can't buy time. You can buy anything. You can't buy life. You can't buy time. And he said, the only thing he doesn't have on his side is time. Time. Can't buy time. Let's use our time wisely. Whilst we live, whilst there remaineth breath in us, let's do good. Let's do something better and good with our time. Because a day will come in the next 50 years, if Jesus tarries, none of us will be here except our kids and our grandkids. Bob Marley said to his son, he said, "Son, money cannot buy life, because if money can buy life, I have a lot of money. I can buy life, but money can buy life." A very wealthy lady in this country, won't mention her name, sent one of my bishops to pray for her. She had had cancer twice. First time she came, we prayed with her, she got healed. Second time she came, we prayed, she got healed. And she celebrated, did dinners, parties, and everything. I wasn't even invited. I was not hurt. I wasn't offended. I mean, people are who they are. You just got to, when you do this work, you just got to do it for God and not for people. And the third time, it spread back in her body, and they told me, and I said, I don't want to get involved this time. So I told one of my bishops, I said, "You go handle it. I don't want to deal with it." Anyway, she passed. When she was passing, she said this to my bishop. She said, "Tell the archbishop, I had so many good plans. So many great and good plans, but time has not favored me." Time. Whilst we have time, let's do something good with it. Because a time will come when time will not be on your side anymore. And there is nothing you can do when time demands your life. So we talked about past judgment, three kinds of judgment: past judgment, present day judgment, and future judgment. And I did establish that past judgment has to do with this world, Satan and his fallen angels. The fact that Satan has already been judged, his destiny is already determined. Number two, that this world is already judged. And number three, that the present day ongoing judgment has to do with you and I judging ourselves. And number four, the Bible said, "Whosoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. And whosoever believeth not is already condemned." So there's an ongoing judgment. And one of the reasons why I need to tell you is because a day will come when you'll be asked, and I don't want to be told that I did not warn you and I did not tell you what is written in the book. So you have to be informed and warned. Please come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 as I work the scriptures quickly. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10.
"For we must all appear before the
judgment seat of Christ." For we must all, not some, not few. Now this is referring to believers and those who make the rapture, not those who are left behind. Those who make the rapture and those who don't take the mark of the beast that remain after the rapture is taken. They have to be martyrs of Christ. I've taught you that. And this has to do with believers. This is not a judgment unto condemnation. It's about judgment to account for what we did with our time, what we did with our body, and what we did with money. God gives the believer money for a reason and a purpose. Whatever resources we are given is for the purposes of the gospel, saving of souls, to expand the cause of his church. Jesus said, I'm building my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Jesus is not building your business. He's not building my business. He's building his church. God's number one priority and interest in this world and in this nation of Ghana is his church, is his people, and nothing else. So whatever it's given to you and I, it is given for the benefit of the church and the preaching and the propagation of the gospel and the saving of souls. And we will give an account for what we did with the time given to us whilst we were here. We'll give an account of what we did with the money given unto us. We'll give an account of what we did with our body. So this is not a judgment unto condemnation. No, we are not going to be condemned. This is not about casting us to hell. No, because hell was not made for you and I. It was made for Satan and his angels, not us. So this is not for the believer. But Anna is a time of accountability where we'll give an account for what we did whilst we were alive. So there is a day of reckoning for all of us. Please remember that there is a day of reckoning. You just can't live anyway, anyhow. You can't take for granted. We came from somewhere. We are not animals. We didn't come from the gorilla family. We didn't come from any donkey, chimpanzee family. We are made in the image of God. We came from God. And each one of us are here for a time such as this, for a purpose. As Mordecai said to Esther, for thou hast come into the kingdom for such a time like this. We are not here by chance. We are not here by accident. We have come into the world for such a time like this to perform and to execute an assignment. You are on assignment. You are a man and a woman on assignment. You are not here by chance. And a day will come when all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and will give an account for what we did with the time given, the money, and our body. This is how it will be. Number one, you'll be judged when it comes to time, money, and your body. They will look at proportions, how you spend your money. Did you spend more of the resources given to you for the kingdom and the gospel and for the good of souls, or you spend more on yourself and your children and your immediate family? Did you spend your time, more of your time, on the kingdom, the gospel, or you spend more of your time on yourself doing what you please or what you wanted? And how did you use your body? Did you abuse your body? Use it. I was showing the bishops and the pastors at our conference this weekend at Anakazo. I showed them how a human being in Ghana here was having sex with a dog. It's very graphic. I won't show it to you. It's very graphic. A human being in Ghana here, a man having sex with a dog. That is the extent to which man, in the name of education and logic and civilization, we have so fallen to the point where man sleeps with an animal, and the dog wasn't barking. And I believe the dog was shocked. That's why it wasn't barking. And the man was busy performing, and the dog was shocked, quiet. But that is, and I'm worried about the future of our children and our grandchildren. If this is what is happening today, what will it be like in 10, 20, 50 years from today? It is said that foreigners are coming into this country with their iPads and go to our schools and give money to our young girls and compel them to sleep with puppies and dogs, and they take pictures and send it out of this country to give them pleasure. What is becoming of us? Something is wrong with our very moral being. Something is wrong with our value system. And it's because the gospel has not been presented well. And we are playing with the lives of people. And we can't play with the lives of people anymore. Please put your hands together and give God praise. I'm sorry I have to present it that way, but I have not it very, very nice. The gospel is not nice. The gospel is very offensive. And God does not ask of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, I will account on that day. And everybody will account what I did with my time and the resources given unto me and the giftings and the access and the favor, everything given unto me on that day. We all, members of the choir, whatever role you play, businessman, businesswoman, politician, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ as a believer. It's a day of accountability and we shall answer. And on that day, we can't fool God. We can't lie. We can't fool God. And please, stop thinking that your life is your own life. You don't have any life. You don't own anything. You can lose the life you think is yours today. You know, there was an earthquake in the United States, in California. And when the earthquake took place, a bridge fell. And many died. And a man survived. Then the media interviewed the wife and said, why do you think he lived when everyone else died? Instead of her to give God glory, she said, I know him. He has the will to live. Ladies and gentlemen, to live and to die has nothing to do with your will. Because I tell you something, there are so many people who will to live and they are dead. It's not about willing and not willing. Time and chance happen to all. And it's not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Put your hands together. Thank God for mercy. Somebody thank God for mercy. Somebody shout and say, mercy. 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 And few days after that event, he had his birthday celebration and died after that day. Where was the will to live? Where was the will to live? You know, this generation have come to a place that we apologize for serving God. I have no apology for serving God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I was nothing and a nobody. Raised in the ghettos of Accra and Kaole. Grew up in Dondoli, Wapani and Jejereyiri Atwa. Live in Zwarungu and downtown in Bolgatanga. And somebody had mercy on me and picked me from nowhere to somewhere. Made something out of nothing. Made a somebody out of a nobody. People ask me all the time, please sit down. People ask me all the time, what is the reason for your success? Tell us the secret of your success. And I said, I have no secret, number one. And number two, I am not yet successful. Because success is not where you are today. Success has nothing to do with money. Material gains. Success have nothing to do with accolades. Success have nothing to do with relevance or receiving awards. I don't like awards. I don't like awards. Because at awards, they talk about all your achievements. But they never talk about your mistakes in life. And I tell my children, the reason why I advise you and you must listen to me is because I've made more mistakes in life. More than doing the right thing. And I have failed many times than I won. So I don't like receiving awards. Because at the plate of awards, they talk about all this, your achievement. But that is not the truth about my life. Because I have had many failures, many betrayals, many setbacks, many disappointments. I've dealt with so much shame and misrepresentation than achievements. So if you want to award me, be willing and be ready to talk about some of my scandals and some of my stigma and some of my disappointment and some of my reproaches. Then the award will be complete. But if you are just talking about my achievement, you don't know me. Success has nothing to do with how many churches you have, how many services you run, or who comes to your church, or who doesn't come to your church. It has nothing to do with how many people you have on your Facebook and how big you are on social media. It has nothing to do with how deep your pockets is or might be. It has nothing to do with the fact that you are a financial mogul or you are an oil sheikh or a business magnate or a business tycoon. It has nothing to do with where you are today or your investments in life or the access you have. True success has to do with how you end the race. And this will load it. I've seen millionaires, even in this church, who don't even have money to buy food. I was talking to them the other day of a young guy. He, by the age of 21, he was a multi-millionaire. And the wife saw me 3 days ago and said, "Papa, I don't have money for food. And my husband sent me to see you for something." And I said, "No problem, I'll get you something." I said, "I'll get you something to eat." I met a family right now. After the first service, they had a lot of money. The mother and the kids came to see me and said, "Papa, as we are talking to you, we don't even have money for food today." I said, "Don't worry, wait for me, I'll get you some money." So, money is not everything. But relationship can take you places where money can take you. So whenever you get money, don't despise relationship, because you never know who you need tomorrow. True success is how you finish. And I intend to finish well. I'm determined to finish well. I have not yet attained, like Paul said, Philippians 3:13. Paul said the other day, he said, "Brethren, I don't count myself as one that has yet attained or arrived or perfected or made it. I'm still being made, preaching for 40 years, and I'm still on the road. I haven't yet attained." It's a daily crucifixion and a daily sanctification and daily purity and daily self-examination of your heart and your motives. It's a daily thing. Paul said, Brethren,
I count not myself to have apprehended.
I haven't yet apprehended. I haven't yet attained. I haven't yet arrived. I know some of you have arrived, but I haven't. I'm still working on myself. I'm still working on myself. Lord, lift me up and make me stand by faith on hand. Stable and higher blues that I
Lord, that's my faith on higher ground.
The next verse.
I'm pressing on.
Press on
the above
it. New heights.
New heights have
gained. I could
in every day still pain out. I'm all around. Lord, bless my feet.
Petition heaven and the Father to say, "Lord, set these feet of mine on a higher ground where nothing on earth can plug it away. where no principality and no power, no temptation and no trials of life can pluck this faith. Set me on a higher place. I hope that is your prayers. And if that is it, put your hands together. 2 Timothy 2:5. 2 Timothy 2:5. Please work with me.
And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully.
You see, even how we are working, and sometimes I get very concerned and worried about even some preachers and how we are doing this thing we are doing, whether it's about competing with others or why we want to build bigger auditoriums and why we want to have more souls. Is it because we love people? We love souls. We don't want them to go to hell. And we love God, or we just want to prove a point. Why we write books? You know, is the motive of writing books proving a point that you can also write, of you've written books more than others? What drives you? What motivates you? If the reason and the motive is for gain and self-recognition, self-indulgence, and for relevance, and for self-accolades, you are doing it against the rules. You can run a race and win and still be disqualified if you don't do it according to the rules. There are rules of engagement. Even preaching the gospel and being a Christian and a child of God, there are rules of engagement. You just can't live any way you want to. You just can't do what you please. You don't take your life into your own hands. You don't do as you please and expect the master to be pleased with you. There are rules of engagement. There are people who run the race and they win and they are disqualified because they do a blood test and find in their blood that they injected themselves with all kinds of drugs that gave them extra energy or capability to run. And though they won, they are disqualified. You know, Paul said the other day, I put my body under subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself be divinely disapproved. And that is very scary. And that is to every preacher. That is not just enough. As I'm preaching to you, I'm also preaching to myself, because nobody is above the word of God. And God is no respecter of anybody. So there are rules of engagement in running this race, in walking this walk of Christianity. Let's do it by the rules of the game. Put your hands together and remember the shout of the king is in the house. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25.
Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible.
Is temperate in all things. This race requires patience, endurance, mastering, self-control. 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 Young man came to see me the other day and he said, Papa, what do you do when you see all these young ladies dressing some way and you are struggling with it in your body? I said, Brother, stop looking at them. Simple. He said, how do you handle it? I said, I don't look at everything. It's not everything I look at. I said, if it troubles you, don't look. Look somewhere else. Or look up to Jesus. It's that simple. It's not, you don't have to bind the sisters. You don't have to pray against them. Just look up or look somewhere else. Or close your eyes. Amen? Because the sisters are not going to disappear because you can't help yourself. But this race requires self-control. Christianity is about self-control. Mastering. Mastering your feelings and mastering your emotions. And the reason why I'm preaching this word is because if you don't hear it, your body can misguide you and mislead you. Your feelings can misguide you, because the sisters these days are no joke. I'm telling you, they are very, very powerful. The way they dress these days with their latest spices and perfumes. When they pass by you and you smell their perfume like that, hey, somebody say Yehovah. And the brothers too, the brothers. You should see some of these young brothers these days. The way they build themselves macho. And the way they carry themselves. Sisters, you need to run according to the rules. Amen. But every race requires speed. But this race requires temperance, long suffering, patience. This one is a marathon. We are not in competition with anybody, this particular race. Every other race, you are in competition with another. This one is about you and God. It's not about you and anybody. I am not in competition with anybody. I am running on my own lane. I'm taking it easy. Messi me down, wobble down, so. Mahinye, metomibu. Messi me, namini. Jesus, answer it, me to love, and who to my than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest thing, but only lean on Jesus' name. Solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. They come and they go, they rise and they fall. But on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All the ground is sinking sand. The grass withers, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Somebody put your hands together and give God praise. Amen. In conclusion, I want you to examine some few scriptures. Revelation 20, 12 to 15. Revelation 20, 12 to 15.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand
small
before God.
Small and great, stand before God. This is a different judgment. This does not apply to you and I. Ours is different. It doesn't apply to us.
Mm-hmm. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire.
So remember that death itself will be judged and hell will be judged. The final destiny for Satan and his angels and all those who refuse Christ and don't live according to the rules, it's not hell, it's the lake of fire. So death and hell itself are a transitional place, and two of them will be judged in being cast into the lake of fire that was prepared for Satan and his angels. Please remember that the lake of fire or hell was never intended to be for any man That was never God's intention. It was not made for man, but Satan and his angels. Go ahead.
This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
You know, sometimes people will call me and say, Papa, I have to do something about all these false prophets. And I say, no, it's not in my place to touch it, to do anything about it. Their destinies have already been determined. They can still repent, but I'm not speaking against it. I'm not touching it. Those who follow them, it's their problem. I'll keep preaching the word, but the word of God is very clear about it. Come with me to Revelation 6, 15 to 17, and one more scripture, and we are closed for the day.
And the kings of the earth.
The kings of the earth.
And the great men.
The great men.
And the rich men.
The rich men, the moguls.
And the chief captains.
Five-star generals.
And the mighty men.
Mighty men.
And every bondman and every free man.
Free man.
Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
Nothing will stand on that day. And please, the thing that baffles me, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that the Bible did not say the dragon or the lion. It talks about the wrath of the Lamb. The Lamb. This is the same Lamb whom the Bible said taketh away the sin of this world. Now, at this particular time, the lambs put on the rope and the judgment of vengeance and wrath. And the lamb, not the lion, but the lamb becomes angry because too much has been taken for granted. And on that day, the lamb will be angry. And the Bible says, who shall stand? Who? There is no captain. There is no general. There's no small, great, wealthy, intellectual. Don't matter who you are. Connections won't stand. Background won't stand. Color of your skin won't stand. The school you attended won't stand. The family you are connected to won't stand. It don't matter who you are, who you know, where you've come from. No man and nobody will stand the anger of the Lamb on that day. The Bible said they cry for the mountains and the hills to fall on them and to hide them from the Lamb. I don't want to face the anger and the wrath of the Lamb. I don't know about you. It's your decision. Please conclude with me. Hebrews 10, 26, and let us pray. Hebrews 10, 26.
For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
Here concluded the word of God. If we sin willfully, after that we've known the truth, which means if we continue in sin, Romans 6:1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound because we live in the dispensation of grace? No. So if we continue in sin, that sin don't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. To the point where we don't feel like confessing anymore. No conscience anymore. No conviction. Lying. Lying with audacity. Lying. Come on, lies. People call you and say, I'll return your call in an hour. And you don't return the call. And you see them days after, you don't even apologize. You don't feel it. We don't care. We don't care anymore. We offend people, can't say I'm sorry. Don't know how to apologize. It's a very serious situation here. Let's pray. Father, help us, all of us, including myself. For I do not count myself above your people. Neither do I count myself to be more righteous or holy, or sanctify above your people or those who hear me. For I count myself not to have apprehended, but as one that follow after if that I may obtain. And I pray for all that hears me today, that no one that hears the sound of my voice will look the same. Speak, for we are all your children, Father. Speak to us in the best way possible and in the language we can all understand. And let nobody here miss it on the day that we stand before you. In the name of Jesus, help us to examine our hearts and our motive and the reason for our being, and remind us that we will give an account as believers for time given to us, life, resources, our body, and all that is given unto us. We will account for it. And on that day, I pray that we will be found worthy. As every head bowed and every eye closed, if you are here, you say, "Preacher, I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss the rapture. I don't want to be here at the Great Tribulation. I don't want to go through the seven plagues in Revelation chapter 16 and the 19th chapter." If you are here, as every head bowed, every eye closed, you can show by hand and let me pray with you right now. Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Wherever you are, if you show by hand, I will pray for you. The Bible said, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know, today is free. You have the choice. But a day will come. A day will come when it will be too late. When you have no choice. And I will not play with your salvation. And I will not play with your life by telling you lies and stories. I will tell you as it is. For that is required of me. And it's critical for you on this day to decide. Will you confess him as your Lord and your Savior? If anyone is here who say, "Preacher, pray for me. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Please stand on your feet if you are here like that. "I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life." If you are here, stand on your feet. I'll pray with you wherever you are. You are.
Jesus,
you know, a day will come when
you'll
be asked, "Did you hear that preacher?" And you said, "Yeah, I heard him, but I was embarrassed. There were too many people here. You know, Lord, even the first lady was here. And I didn't want to look some way before her." So nobody will have an excuse on that day. Please, if you are standing on your feet, just come, let me pray with you and proceed with other things. Please come forward, let's pray. If you're on your feet, come, let's pray. Everybody else praying, please.
My grace
shows
Redeemer, my Savior,
if you must come, please come. If you are not sure your name is written, it's better to be sure than not being sure. Please come if you must come.
Say with me, "Oh God,
I acknowledge in the light of your word that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. And that's why you sent Jesus to save me. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and dying for me, shedding your blood for me. Lord Jesus, on this day, I call upon heaven and earth to witness this day that I accept you. I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior of my life. Let my name be removed from the book of death and hell, and let my name be written in the book of life against that glorious day. Thank you, Jesus. Father, if I've ever offended or hurt you or anyone, it wasn't intentional. It was out of ignorance. Forgive me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are. You know, a day will come when you'll be asked, did you hear that preacher? And you said, yeah, I heard him, but I was embarrassed. There were too many people here. You know, Lord, even the first lady was here. And I didn't want to look some way before her. So nobody will have an excuse on that day. Please, if you are standing on your feet, just come, let me pray with you and proceed with other things. Please come forward, let's pray. If you're on your feet, come, let's pray. Everybody else praying, please.
My grace shall redeem my Savior.
If you must come, please come. If you are not sure your name is written, it's better to be sure than not being sure. Please come if you must come.
My gracious, my gracious Redeemer, my Savior,
please say with me, oh God, I acknowledge in the light of your word that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself, and that's why you sent Jesus to save me. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and dying for me, shedding your blood for me. Lord Jesus, on this day I call upon heaven and earth to witness this day that I accept you. I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior of my life. Let my name be removed from the book of death and hell, and let my name be written in the book of life against that glorious day. Thank you, Jesus. Father, if I've ever offended or hurt you or anyone, it wasn't intentional. It was out of ignorance. Forgive me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.